WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's mostly clear, 22 degrees. We look for mostly sunny skies here today with a high near 50. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your trained home comfort specialist dealer. The Atlantic Middle School's Student Council has the honor of being one of the top student councils in the state of Iowa. Student Council Advisor Ginger Bechtold told the school board the good news during their meeting Monday night.
Last summer, we submitted a scrapbook to the state for approval, and they selected us as, we didn't get the top award, but we came in second as a Middle School Student Council of Honor. And we're the only middle school in the state of Iowa that got this award.
Bechtold said there were several criteria that had to be matched in order to achieve the award. The only criteria she says they couldn't meet or match was sending kids to a leadership camp, which is only available to high school students. Among the activities the students participated in was filling their scrapbook before submitting to the state, was collecting pop can tabs for the Iowa Firefighters Association for donation to the Shriners Children Program. The AMS Council worked to gather more than 15 pounds of tabs for a total of 58,880 pull tabs last year. They also did penny wars in the homeroom classes from March the 5th to March the 9th in order to raise a little more than $2,000 for the Relay for Life, with a winning team playing dodgeball with the teachers. Now this year, the Student Council is working on establishing a constitution for their state project, along with a project to raise funds to help find a cure from Alzheimer's. In order to do that, they plan on holding a dodgeball tournament. News time is 8:01.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable, no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a Trane.
The Iowa Department of Cultural Affairs on Monday announced that it has awarded more than $1.2 million in Iowa Great Places funding for 10 projects in 7 Iowa communities, including the Danish villages of Elkhorn and Kimbleton. The awards announced Monday come from the Iowa Great Places program to support vertical infrastructure projects. Locally, the Jensen Prairie Landscape Park project received $90,000, and the Little Mermaid Trail and Park Improvements project received $111,410, for a total award of more than $201,000. The Danish Immigrant Museum had sought Great Places support for Phase 2 of the installation of the Jensen Prairie Landscape Park. Danish Villages has completed the installation of the Heritage Brick Plaza and the planting of 20 acres of the park. The park is a tribute to Jensen, who was one of America's greatest landscape designers and conservationists of the early 20th century. The park is planted with his philosophies in mind, enhancing the visitors' overall museum experience. Completion of the park will increase opportunities to attract new audiences to the museum and the Danish villages. And the Little Mermaid Trail will connect the Danish villages of Elkhorn and Kimbleton with a recreational trail, beginning at the sculpture of the Little Mermaid in Kimbleton and ending at the State of Iowa Welcome Center on the Danish windmill grounds in Elkhorn. This project is phase two of the Little Mermaid Park Improvements and Hans Christian Andersen Sculpture Garden. Requested funds will be used to offset the cost of new and safer playground equipment, a sculpture garden and walkway, and ADA-compliant restroom facilities. Well, the City of Atlantic's Planning and Zoning Commission will meet this evening at City Hall to review the Namani Commercial Development Final Plat. On October 17th, the Atlantic City Council approved plans for the preliminary plat. At that time, City Administrator Doug Harris said the owners of the property plan to subdivide the nearly 8-acre parcel, which is zoned as light industrial, into 4 lots. Harris said there are several people interested in developing the parcels when they're sold off. The actual grading and drainage of those lots won't happen until a site plan is created for each individual lot. In other business, the P&Z this evening will receive a status report on the updating of the city's zoning ordinance, which includes landscape requirements and design standards. Their meeting begins at 5:30. The Shelby County Extension will host a Fumigation Continuing Instructional Course, or CIC, for commercial pesticide applicators on Tuesday, November 27th. Officials say the program will be shown at locations across Iowa through the Iowa State University Extension and Outreach, Pest Management and the Environment, or PME, program. The local site for the November 27th CIC is 906 6th Street in Harlan. Registration begins at 8:30 that day, followed by sessions from 9 until 11 a.m. Registration fee is $35 on or before November 20th and $45 after then. If you'd like to register or obtain additional information about that continuing instructional course, you can contact Pam Jacobson at the Shelby County Extension Office. Her number is 712-755-3104. The 2012 course will provide continuing instructional credits for commercial pesticide applicators certified in categories 7C, fumigation, and 10, demonstration and research. The course will cover topics including calibration and safe application and resistance and fumigant labels. Also, additional information and registration forms for that course and other courses offered through the PME can be accessed through the Extension's website at www.extension.iastate.edu/PME. There's a link to that on the same story under the news tab at kjan.com. Elsewhere in the news, officials have released the name of a 26-year-old man who was killed in a Sioux City job accident. He's been identified as Cesar Balderma of Sioux City. He died Saturday afternoon while working at the new Sabre Industrial Site in Southbridge Business Park in Sioux City. The Sioux City Journal reports that Balderama worked for a contractor. Additional details about the accident haven't been released. The Federal Occupational Safety and Health Administration, or OSHA, is investigating Balderama's death. A 26-year-old man has been accused of robbing a bank in Sioux City. Online court records say Johnny Hawkins Jr. faces robbery, assault, and firearms charges in connection with the robbery Saturday morning at the Heritage Bank. Authorities say Hawkins flashed a handgun as he confronted an employee while she was opening the bank. Hawkins was arrested later that day on Saturday in Sergeant Bluff. The bank money and handgun were recovered. A Woodbury County jailer said Monday that Hawkins had remained in custody on a $102,000 bond. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has threatened to take over protection of Iowa's waterways from the state. The Des Moines Register reports that a federal investigation shows the state has been lax in requiring that livestock operations follow rules to keep manure out of Iowa's creeks, rivers, ponds, and lakes. The EPA reports that the state hasn't properly inspected livestock facilities and failed in its duties about half the time when responding to livestock pollution. The Iowa Natural Resources Department says the EPA criticism is misplaced. DNR spokesman Kevin Baskins says his agency has been encouraging compliance rather than imposing fines and other penalties as punishment for failure to follow environmental rules. And Baskins says there's evidence that strategy is working. Over 1,200 Iowa school board members and superintendents will be in Des Moines today and tomorrow for the annual meeting of the Iowa Association of School Boards. Convention coordinator Lou Ann Govest said that there will be numerous workshops for school board members and superintendents to attend.
We have a range of topics that pertain directly to the role of governance, everything from superintendent board relations to policy, sessions focusing on what board members can do to improve student learning, collective bargaining, and we have some great sessions on school finance as well.
And Govest says the convention will feature several speakers.
We are really excited about our keynote speakers on Thursday because we were intentional in selecting them. The day will be focused on developing a culture of innovation, and Dr. Tony Wagner from Harvard is kicking off our opening general session with an exciting keynote, and then followed up at lunch with David Warlick, who is also going to talk about innovation.
Marty Klein is another IASB a convention organizer that says Iowa native Ben Milne, who created the money exchange company Dawala, will talk about his struggles in school at Cedar Falls and in college and how he went on to overcome them and become successful.
He's created many jobs. He's run more than one company and has been an employer of many people. And he's going to talk to the group about how they can make sure that all different kinds of students are included and that all the students with different kinds of learning needs that their needs are met in the classroom and can go on to be successful students and successful business people.
Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds will speak to the delegates Thursday afternoon about the STEM, or Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math initiative. You can find out more about that convention at www.ia-sb.org. And taking a look at world headlines at this hour, the nomination of General John Allen to become commander of NATO forces in Europe is now on hold as he's being investigated in the sex scandal involving ex-CIA director David Petraeus and a writer. Petraeus' mistress allegedly sent threatening emails to Petraeus' friend and a friend of his in Florida, and Allen is now accused of inappropriate communications with a Florida woman. Back to Capitol Hill for Congress as lawmakers face the pressing problem of trying to avert the tax increases and automatic spending cuts that are set to kick in after January 1st. President Obama will hold his first meeting of the week on averting the so-called fiscal cliff today when he talks with labor leaders. Obama will later meet with business executives and congressional leaders. A survey completed a week before Election Day says small business owners remained cautious in October. Results of the survey from the National Federation of Independent Business shows little change from September's results. The survey suggests that in October, business owners grew more uncertain about how business would be 6 months from now, and only 4% said they planned to hire. The state of Ohio is about to execute a man who insists that he's innocent of stabbing a woman 138 times, slitting her throat and then cutting her hands. Brett Hartman said he had sex with a woman the morning of her September 9, 1997 death, but returned to her Akron apartment later that day to only find her dead, and he said he panicked and tried to clean up the mess before calling 911. Hartman is scheduled for execution this morning. And overseas, doctors say a 56-year-old Russian woman is recuperating well after slaying a wolf that attacked her. The wolf pounced on the farmer in the Russian province of Dagestan, biting her on the arm and leg and knocking her to the ground. When no one could hear her cries for help, she reached for the axe that she had brought to repair a fence and repeatedly hit the wolf over the head, killing him. The woman now has become a local hero. I'll have a check of the funeral announcements coming up next.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local Train dealer. Bob Jacobson here. From major repairs, including new house construction, to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now, 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
In our funeral announcements, Irma Madsen, age 91 of Kimbleton, died Thursday at Jenny Edmondson Hospital in Council Bluffs. Funeral services for Irma Madsen will be this morning at 10:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Kimbleton. Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton has arrangements. Goldie Rose Ullman, age 97 of Anita, died Wednesday at Caring Acres in Anita. Funeral services for Goldie Ullman will be today at 10:30 at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita. Dr. Richard Coatney, age 78 of Atlantic, died Sunday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Dr. Richard Coatney will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic, with Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic in charge of arrangements. Richard Wilberding, age 77 of Harlan, died Sunday at the University of Nebraska Med Center in Omaha. A massive Christian burial service for Richard Wilberding will be held tomorrow at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Rhonda Antofer, age 51 of Audubon, died Monday at the St. Anthony Regional Hospital in Carroll. Funeral services for Rhonda Antofer will be tomorrow at 1 o'clock at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. Dorothy Jean Laudenschlager, age 67 of Holbrook, Nebraska, a native of Irwin, died Saturday in Kearney, Nebraska. Funeral services for Dorothy Laudenschlager will be held on Wednesday at 1 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Arapaho, Nebraska. Wenberg Funeral Home in Arapaho is in charge of the arrangements. Russell Kevin Stalter, age 62 of Stewart, died Sunday at his home. Funeral services for Russell Stalter will be on Friday at 11 o'clock at the All Saints Catholic Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. and Keith L. Johnson, age 69, of Pilot Mountain, North Carolina, and formerly of Harlan, died Sunday. Celebration of life services for Keith Johnson will be this coming Saturday at 1 o'clock at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. The news and funeral announcements were brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Henson reporting.